what's happening now may look like partisan political games, but the result could hurt North Carolinians. By moving education policy positions away from the governor, it means that funds can be taken out of public education and our universities and put into private school vouchers. There's even legislation over there right now requiring larger class sizes in our public schools. Control over the governor's appointments to head the departments of commerce and revenue, that's a push for more corporate tax cuts and loopholes paid for by tax increases on the middle class and on small businesses. Control over the governor's appointments to head the Department of Environmental Quality is a push to weaken protections for air and water and an attempt to hurt renewable energy. Control over the governor's appointments to head the Department of Health and Human Services, that will hurt public health and hurt our economy, particularly in rural areas when they try to stop Medicaid expansion and expansion of mental health. Regardless of whether any of this legislation passes, I will use all of our tools, and we have a lot, to lead this state in the right direction. I will be working for better education, better paying jobs, and restoring our state's reputation. We don't look good to our people here in North Carolina or to the rest of the country when laws are passed hastily with little discussion in the middle of the night. Witness the disaster of House Bill 2, which was passed in the same way. This has got to stop. I will use every tool in the governor's office to fight for everyday North Carolinians, including the courts, if necessary. If I believe that laws passed by the legislature hurt working families and are unconstitutional, they will see me in court. And they don't have a very good track record there. Now, they will also see me continuing to work with them for better education, for fairness for the middle class, for repealing House Bill 2. I'm ready now to help lead this state and to help move us forward. And I continue my pledge to lead this state and make it one that works for everyone. I'll be glad to take your questions.
Mr. Attorney General, how come the legislature, you suggest that they're abrogating your powers? They're saying they want to have a say, just like the Senate has a say in approving the president's nominees.
What this is about is affecting education. They're doing something that's unprecedented. It's about affecting health care and the environment and air and water. This is what is happening. And what we don't need is gridlock. What we do need is a way to move forward, and I'm ready to do that.
You're the top law enforcement official of the state of North Carolina. What are your thoughts on the legality of calling this fourth special session? A lot of your colleagues protested it on the House floor.
If I believe that any of these laws that they pass hurt working families or are unconstitutional, they will see me in court. Our attorneys are looking at all of these pieces of legislation, many of them long, many pages long, put forth in the middle of the night. This is the problem. This is not the way government should work. These issues should be debated. They're coming back into session in a few weeks anyway. If they want to discuss these issues, let's discuss them then. Yes?
Mr. Cooper, in talking to Republican leadership, they point to prior actions in Democratic-controlled General Assembly. They point to Governor Hunt, something he did in the 1970s. They even point to a bill that you filed regarding Court of Appeals and en banc hearings when you were still in the Senate. Can you just respond to the notion that they are following a precedent that you and your colleagues have set for the past 30 years?
That's just not true. What is happening now is unprecedented. What's happening now is going to affect the issues that make a difference to everyday working families. This is about thwarting the governor's ability to move us forward on education and health care and clean air and water, because no, we don't agree on some of those issues. We're going to find areas of agreement, but what they're trying to do is to prevent us from moving forward, and they want to try to take money out of the public schools, and the way they're doing that is with these laws that move people into positions who are going to be making those decisions, and I don't think the people of North Carolina want that.
One of the proposals,
do you have a bigger issue with content or with the process?
Let me get this one right here first. I'm sorry.
One of the proposals is about changing the way ethics and elections are kind of held, and one of the proposals is to grow the state board of elections and the county boards of elections. If it was grown to something where it was equal, Republicans and Democrats, it's possible that the Durham recount might never have happened. What do you think about that proposal?
I want elections and ethics process to be fair and strong. And I think that the Board of Elections and all of the county boards of elections did a good job in the last election, considering all of the challenges that they faced. But these are the kinds of issues that should be brought forth in the long session when they come in, instead of being passed in the dark of night with little debate. That's a significant change in North Carolina law. We need all kinds of people to give us opinions on whether that's the right move. I want something fair. I want something that is going to make sure that the will of the people is the result of the election. And I'm willing to work with them on these issues, but now is not the time. It's too late to be passing major pieces of legislation without enough input.
So just to make sure, you're not disagreeing necessarily that proposal. You're just saying we need more.
I haven't even had a chance to read it all yet. You understand that these things have been coming in the night last night. They're major changes in North Carolina law. They deserve debate. They deserve deliberation. They deserve public input. We don't want another disaster like House Bill 2. This is exactly why we had problems with House Bill 2, because they wanted to do it in secret. Clearly, they have been telling you and the people of North Carolina that we're here to do hurricane relief, and there may be some other things that are being talked about, but we don't know what. They knew exactly what, and they knew for weeks what they were going to do, but they didn't tell the public. That's wrong. They need to put these issues out on the table so that the people know about them, and there's time to debate them. That's not the way to run good state government. Yes, sir?
Is your bigger issue with the content of what you've seen thus far in this legislation, these pieces of legislation, or is it about the process?
It's both, but it's more about the content, because I believe that this is an ominous way to take money out of the public school system and give it to private school vouchers. I believe it is a way for them to weaken protections on air and water, and we want strong ones. I believe this is a way for them to have a negative effect on renewable energy, on Medicaid expansion, on continuing to give tax breaks to big corporations and not small businesses in the middle class. This is a way for them to get what they want on these issues. And I'm concerned about the subject matter. Yes, people talk about this, and it may seem like it's partisan political games on their part, but it is more ominous. It is about the subject matter. It is about everyday working North Carolinians, and that is a problem.
You've been in state government for a long time. Somebody said to me last night that the thought of looking at like this 8-member ethics board, this proposal, a proposal like that could take 6, 7, 8 months to actually implement.
Sure.
Is it even feasible for something like that to come together in 2.5 weeks?
Major changes in the way state government operates should be done deliberately, with input from all parties, particularly something as important as elections and making sure that people have the opportunity to vote and making sure they are just and honest. And so these proposals deserve discussion, but they shouldn't be pushed through in the dark of night.
Mr. Cooper,
yes,
sir.
Well, we just found out about this. What I do know is that there are an incredible number of talented people, people who have been successful in life, people who love North Carolina, who believe that we've been headed down the wrong path. They are volunteering to help. I want us to be able to put a team in place quickly so that we can begin to move North Carolina in the direction that we need to go. We're going to continue to look at this legislation and figure out the effects of it, but it's time for them to go home. It's time for us to get ready for the long session. It's time for us to try to figure out ways that we can work together for the common good, and let's stop this last minute process that could really end up hurting North Carolinians, just like they did with House Bill 2.
Yes, sir, but are people turning you down for jobs in your administration?
This just happened last night, Mark. So, you know, we are getting good response from everyone.
Kelly, you mentioned opportunities for compromise on the table. What are some of the things that you're looking at? Obviously, you mentioned incentives. Anything else?
Well,
right, and this is going to be our
We're going to have a lot of debates about public education and funding and making our schools better. And there are a lot of issues that are involved in that process about how we pay our teachers more, how to try to find a way to give better benefits to all of our state employees. There are so many issues that need to be debated, need to be discussed. We need to get public input. I'm willing to talk with them and try to work out ways to move forward. Thank you all very much. I appreciate it.